So, I guess we can start from the beginning.
Well, first of all, hello. We are going to talk about this book, How to Lie with Statistics, by Daryl Huff. And it was like 1950... It's a really old book.
It's on the third page.
Copyright 1954, so an old book that is still relevant.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyway... So, this book in general talks about how you can use statistics to get across an inaccurate impression, or how statistics don't often mean what they think we think they mean, and how people often manipulate them to to do what they want.
Trick people.
Yeah, trick people.
Yeah.
So, why don't we start off?
Basically, that's the first thing we can talk about is one of the first quotes in the introduction kind of said proper treatment will cure a cold in 7 days, but left itself, a cold will hang around for a week. Mm-hmm. That just really shows that you can really use numbers to lie with it. Like,
the point being that a week and 7 days are the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
But one sounds a lot longer than the other.
And people still buy cold medicine, even though...
Is that why doctors do that, just to have people... buy them, or just like, what is the reason to that?
I think doctors make money either way.
There's
a difference between pharmaceutical companies and doctors.
Right.
People making these, you know, allergy medicines and, you know, the NyQuils are different than you go into your pediatrician and say, you know, I'm really stuffy today.
Yeah.
So them saying, oh yeah, you know, treat this cold, it'll be gone in 7 days, versus your you calling your doctor and saying I'm stuffy, he's going to be like, leave it alone, and guess what? It'll be gone in a week.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, cold medicine doesn't actually cure a cold.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It
really
just deals
help.
With the symptoms.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it helps you through your sleep, but that's it.
Well, yeah.
It knocks you out. It's like Benadryl.
It also, if your nose is runny, it can, like, thicken the mucus and stuff like that.
I just blow my nose, that's it.
Yes.
But if you keep going and further into the book, one of the first examples he talked about was.
Yeah.
The average for, like, Yale men was, like, $25,000 or something like that.
Let me read the quote for you.
It was, like, $15,000.
Oh, yeah, $15,000.
Yeah.
But he told someone that the average income was $15,000 for the area, and so the guy just took it at face value. He was like...
Let's stay on the Yale example.
It's a little bit later. So the quote is, the average Yale man class of 24, meaning 1924, makes $25,111 a year. And so... at first, like, whoa, that was a huge amount of money in 1924.
Yeah, definitely. That's like hundreds now.
Easily six figures.
Yes.
And, like, it sounds like a huge amount, and then you realize, wait a second, you know, the quote is, but wait a minute, what does this impressive figure mean? When you say average, what does it mean?
So, then there's, like, all different types of averages, like, the mean, the median, the mode, they can all mean different things, like, the mean, like, three different people... who have, like, the most money in that average can bring the mean all the way up. Or the median could just be the middle guy. Or the mode could just be the most common number that pops up. Like, you don't really know which average they actually use.
And when people say average, they can mean any
of these things. They can mean anything.
And usually they purposely don't tell you which one it is.
Yeah.
There are times, and I think he references an example, where they do reference a specific average, but then when they give you the actual number, it doesn't tell you which average that is.
Yeah.
So you don't know if we're talking about the mode, the median, the mean.
That means you have to figure it out yourself then, right?
They're manipulating it into whatever product they have and whatever they want you to buy.
That also goes along with the sampling thing that he talked about. Like, you don't know, like, the people he picked, well, not he, like, not the author,
right.
But, like, the people who found out, like, the Yale sample, like, it said in the book that they probably only asked the people who were, like, rich and, like, known in Wall Street. And he said that only a rich person would keep their name in the phone book.
And
the people who kept up with the alumni association. Like, if you came out of Yale and were, like Christina said, like, a carpenter, like, you're not going to keep up with the alumni association with Yale. You don't, like... You're, like, inadequate compared to the rest of people.
No point.
So they only found the good people.
If you are keeping up, when they call you and you know that you're your like best friend from Yale is talking about, oh, I make $25,000. Are you going to tell them you only make $12,000, or are you going to fudge your numbers
a little bit?
Because they're not going to go check the records. Or he also talks about, well, maybe you did fudge your records at some point, so you're like your taxes. Well, now you want to make sure your story straight on everything you report. So all of a sudden, you're previously good sampling methods just turn into bad sampling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great transition to our next topic, which is sampling. How to create an adequate sample. The goal of a sample is to survey a small population to represent a large population. But the thing is, when you try to do that, you get this weird thing because you have no idea what's influencing it. Like, there are so many variables that you don't know. Like, for example, there's this one study they talked about that, like, the race of the person asking the questions can influence the results. So, like, how do you create a sample that deals with all these things?
I personally don't think it's possible. I mean, despite everything we've learned in statistics class, I think there is a way to have a good sampling, but there's only so much you can humanly do.
There's never a perfect
sample.
There's
out never, the good never sample. A perfect one. Because how can you guarantee that when I ask Kevin this question, he's going to respond the same way to me than he would to you as a male? Or how can I guarantee that he would respond to someone of a different race? Or maybe he's embarrassed by what I'm asking him.
Or would I respond at all?
Like, yeah, maybe I can't even get him to stop on the street where I'm stopping him. There's definitely ways to enhance your sampling, but to have a perfect sample, you'll never get there.
Sometimes it's impossible.
So the best we can do is just, like, take into account as many variables as we can. But we can't expect to ever create a real one. So when we're reading studies and reports and news articles, we should like take into account that the sample they used is likely not adequate and try it and then take the numbers with a grain of salt.
But can you still get like a really good amount of data? Even
you can get close. And,
it just depends. Like Andrew said, like you have to work your best to eliminate as many like lurking variables as possible. I mean, like there's some you probably don't even know about. Like those are like the invisible ones the guy said in the book. But like, as long as you try your best to get rid of all the lurking ones, and I mean, like, I think the really way to get a good sample, like if you're presenting like this data to someone, is to like not lie in a sense. Like really, like put everything straightforward out there. Like if you tell someone like what average you actually used,
right, like,
then that might
truth,
be a
like
good sample.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, and like, and I don't want just to come across as like you can't ever create scientific progress because your sample is never going to be good. No, like even if your sample isn't good, you can still like learn from it. Mm-hmm. But you just have to take the sampling into account when you're analyzing the study.
You can totally learn from bad sampling as well.
Oh,
I mean, I sit in class, and there's plenty of times we see our classmates that have bad sampling.
Yeah.
And we realize it right away because it's a very specific lurking variable they ignored.
Yeah.
We're like, they completely ignored the people that did not stop in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they completely missed that factor. So there's a lot of ways to learn from bad sampling as well.
So there's never perfect sampling, but there's like average sampling.
What average, Mal?
Yeah.
Is that the mode sampling?
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
If you keep moving on in the book.
And there are biases involved. Like you can deliberately warp sampling.
Yeah, like if you actually wanted to lie with it, that's what like we're presuming that the people who did the Yale study did.
Mm-hmm.
They purposely only asked the rich people because they wanted Yale's numbers to seem higher. And that's definitely bias sampling.
Because like,
you didn't include everyone in it.
It's a bias on both ends.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bias of the people being asked the questions,
mm-hmm.
and the bias of the people asking the questions,
yeah.
and, like, just mistakes people in both sides.
Yeah, and the author also referenced, I forget what company, you know, they might do a few studies, and then when they finally get any average that works for whatever they're going to manipulate it into, that's the one that they're going to report. They're not going to tell us what average it is, but they're just going to give it to us and hand feed us this information they want us to have.
Yeah, I remember the book talked about the IQ thing, like when like if you tested the IQ of a kid, and like even though like the average, like you were smart or like normal, whatever, if you got 100 and one kid got a 98 and the other kid got 101. And then, like, parents read into that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's error, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But one quick thing, where was it? Oh, right. When we talk about, it's very important to get a very large sample.
Why is that important to get a large
because
sample?
The more people you sample, the less chance there is of variation.
Mm-hmm.
The less chance that there's of, like, lurking variables. coming in and ruining things. So, for example, they talked about this one polio case. Polio study, not case.
Oh, right.
Where
yeah, yeah.
They surveyed about 1,000 people, half were vaccinated and half were unvaccinated, and they were surprised to find out that none of the people who weren't vaccinated to polio got polio. And that was because this strain of polio came in an instance of, like, 1 in 300. So they could have only expected to get, like, 2 people with polio in the entire thing.
So they didn't even have enough people to actually get
a meaningful result.
Yeah, to get a meaningful result. Like, just because... And then... And that's how people manipulate it. They would then use that number and be like, look, our vaccination worked.
Or in this case, the vaccination didn't work because it didn't improve the...
But it doesn't really teach anyone anything.
Exactly.
It's just kind of
cheap. It's also like, I think the book references as well, and like we did in class, when you do 10 coin tosses, are you expecting 5 heads and 5 tails?
No, you're most likely
going to get like 8 and 2. But
or
if you do it 250 times or 500 times, all of a sudden
you're looking at
a better 50-50.
So, yeah, so when you're sampling, a couple things you want to take into account: lurking variables both on both sides, and in, you know, just due to random chance, and you want to increase sample size as much as you can realistically. Like, you obviously can't survey everyone in the U.S.
Kind of going back to when we talk about the use of averages, this isn't really about sampling, but, like, the book used the example about someone buying a house in a neighborhood that had, like, a mean income.
Oh, yeah,
like, the average income was, like, $15,000, so the guy thought he bought a house in a nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, a year later, someone comes knocking on his door and says, like, the average income's only $5,000 around here.
3,500%
yeah.
I figure they used, yeah.
And then, like, it kind of, like, brought the whole thing, it brought, like, someone's whole perspective down. Then he doesn't know what the income of his actual neighborhood is because...
He was using the higher average to brag. He was
so
like,
the real estate
the
agent,
average income in my neighborhood's 50,000.
Yeah, the real estate agent, I think, was talking about, like, the mean because of, he said there was, like, 3 really rich people in the neighborhood, but then the other people that came to his door were talking about, like, the moat or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, because the 3 rich people brought the mean up.
Yeah, and 3 rich people brought it
up. Well, the median was just so, Bella mentioned this earlier. There was a study, for IQ tests. It measured one person to be, like, 98, one person to be 101. Excuse me. And then, then the idea was that, people looked at the guy with 98 and said, oh, you're below average. Obviously not smart.
Mm-hmm.
And the person with 101 saying, oh, you're above average, you're great. And, of course, they didn't realize the fact that the study had an error of, like, 3.
They also
it was like 97 to 102, or like 98 to
102.
Yeah,
it was an error of 3, yeah.
They also use, in a like a little farther back, like parents and reading baby books. Like parents always would read baby books and think like, okay, this book says that normal kid walks at 6 months. And then when their kid doesn't crawl at 6 months, they think there's something wrong with their kid.
They think
their kid's like stupid or something. But then if their kid crawls before 6 months, they think their kid's like some kind of
and it's like not even their
the new coming
process.
Of Jesus.
They think kid's great.
Yeah, but it's just the way the book perceived it.
And it's not even what they think their kid can and cannot do. He then talks about now the parents that don't have the children crawling before 6 months are now pushing their children.
Yeah.
When in reality, they don't need to crawl at this time. So you are putting this restriction
on them. Both of the people were normal, quote unquote.
Yeah.
In
reality, there's no normal. Like, everyone learns at their own pace in that way. Like.
Yeah. I mean, there is a normal, but the definition of normal is not constant.
It's not like you need to walk by 6 months in one day
or you're not normal. Doomed to a mental hospital. So yeah, it's important to understand that like normal isn't an exact number, and that the 49th percentile is not very different from the 51st percentile.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they try and make it perceived as.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I still haven't done the IQ thing. Where did it go?
Well, the IQ thing talked about not only the IQ.
Oh, it was
and then
chapter 4. That's why.
Yeah. Okay. And then they also the IQ thing had like it did the test about picking up an ear of corn every 100 yards, and then that's where it like got the +3 thing. Right there.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, if you were testing to see if one cornfield had better corn, every 100 yards, you just grab an ear of corn and keep going. But then, like, what if you have to take into account, like, error? What if you didn't walk 100 yards every time? And then that's why they did, like, the +/-3.
Yeah. And so with the IQ thing, if 98 plus or minus 3 and 101 plus or minus 3, like in reality, the person with 98 could have been 101 and the person with 101 could have been 98.
Yeah.
So saying that Linda's the one with the higher, is smarter than Peter, who's the lower one, is not a correct statement.
Yes.
But people often make it out to be.
Yeah.
But why would
people like to make subjective things objective?
Why do people like doing that though?
Because it's simpler.
They also like to take things at face value, and
yeah,
that's why when people, like companies, throw out the word average, the average consumer uses this. We like to take that at face value, like, oh, the average consumer uses this, so you know this must be great.
People
we
think
have to use
people
it
think
more.
Read
like
it,
and it draws
yeah, when
attention.
People read it, they think average means like everyone. They don't think they're getting like manipulated by like all different forms of average
like
and bad sampling and stuff like that.
Like they think it's gonna help them out.
Yeah. They're like, oh well, if the average person drinks a cup of water every hour, I need to drink a cup of water every hour because I need to be average.
Or you'd be like, or maybe I should drink more than the
yeah.
average.
And then that kind of goes into a deeper conversation of not only like lying with statistics, but of like people trying to like fit into the norm.
Right.
Everyone mm-hmm. wants to be
yeah,
like
yeah.
normal or like above normal. So they're like, maybe I'll drink two cups of water
an
hour. Yeah,
because it's always different.
Yeah,
content, like what Andrew said.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's never an objective.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, you figure everyone's different.
Yeah, exactly. And then but if you go back to like with the line statistics, people who manipulate the numbers know
right.
that this is the thought process of like most society. So that's how like they like get away with it by like continuing to manipulate people and like make people think they're normal. Whatever that means. Kind of like a side note, I thought like we kind of found that like this book, we read the first four chapters
yeah.
this time around, and I felt like the first four chapters of this book were like most of the whole stats class kind of wrapped into one.
Yeah,
well, like, not like the math part.
Yeah, not
like
the math part, but like
the
theory behind it, like
yeah.
the thought process behind it. Like,
well,
like
really
the learning process.
Really redundant. Like
yeah.
He just
I know.
Like,
I wasn't a fan of like the.
I feel like because we have this stats class under our belt, we're reading this book like, oh,
that's
I totally
yeah.
know this already.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
was a bad sample. But if we had read this book maybe first quarter, we'd be like,
have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true. This might have been a good introduction to stats.
If we
would have
read
like
this
little...
book first quarter, we would have looked at that survey and be like, well, I probably would have did that
yeah.
survey like for this benchmark
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
Look, like, because reading the book now, it seems like it's a review of what we learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but if what... Oh, that would be an interesting, Mr. Miles. Inquiry-based learning. Read the book about how to lie with stats first.
So we can manipulate all
stats.
Of these future
yeah.
assignments.
That's a way to get kids to love your class. Here, welcome to stats. Read a book.
True. I definitely wouldn't love it. Another thing about this book is that sentence structures and that grammar of
it. It was written over 60 years ago.
Yeah,
come
it was still
on.
Getting on my nerves, though. Like, there would be, like, parts of the book that had, like, parentheses worth a whole page. Like, it was like his little, like, oh, side note, but it would be like a whole page of
like
a side
like
note.
You could
quote.
Tell this
yeah.
was like his personal pet peeves about everything in life that
yeah.
he's seen. And he was like, you know what? I finally have
he
to
was,
write this in my journal.
He would just twitch every time someone, like,
yeah.
said, oh, the average. He just.
like,
he did not like it.
But overall, I think that it was really informative. Like, I liked it. He made
yeah.
some good points.
Yeah, he made
oh, no.
He,
well,
yeah.
well, yeah, he's completely right. Everything's
yeah,
just,
I'll be.
Just,
I'm really
yeah,
interested
just,
to keep going
interesting
and
to
see.
Read it.
Yeah, I'm interested to keep going and see what he has to offer
next.
Because
if those were the only
chapters.
First four chapters,
yeah.
I'm really interested to see, like...
Like, how else they lie. I thought this was everything.
I wonder how far he goes in.
Like, all right, gotta watch out for the word average.
Yeah.
Now, what else are we paying
attention to? What else
I
have to look for?
Yeah,
definitely.
Like, now when I watch TV commercials, like, showing, like, the advertisements and the propaganda, and they say averages, I'm
yeah.
not gonna listen.
Yeah, it's really changes your life.
What do you mean? Mean? Yeah, so next week we'll come back and we're going to read the next four chapters, and we'll discuss from there. So hopefully, well, we're looking forward to getting into some deeper stuff.
Yeah.
And we're curious to see if you think that there can ever truly be a perfect sampling method.
Yeah, so drop us some comments, any thoughts.
If you have any questions about
more
the book,
info
just
is in the description.
Yeah.
That it doesn't really exist. All right, anyway, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.